You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're digging into the Brian Walsh murder trial at 4:55 in the morning on New Year's Day of 2023. Someone in that house typed a question into Google: how long before a body starts to smell? In the hours that followed, more searches, best ways to dispose of a body, can you be charged with murder without a body, hacksaw, best tool to dismember? Of course it is. Who doesn't know that? Prosecutors say those searches belong to Brian Walsh, a Massachusetts husband and father of three, who is now on trial for murdering his wife, Anna. He's already pled guilty to dismembering her body and misleading police, but he says he didn't kill her. That's important. His defense: he found her dead in their bed, panicked, and made those searches while wrestling with what to do. It's a case built almost entirely on lies, lies to police, lies about his marriage, lies about where he was and what he did, and it raises questions that go far beyond the courtroom. How do people construct elaborate deceptions? What separates an everyday liar from someone capable of this? And how do we recognize the warning signs before it's too late? Joining us to break all of this down, the psychology of deception, is Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author of several books, one of them being this one, Nightbird. It is her latest memoir, available wherever books are sold. Siobhan is someone who's worked with both victims and perpetrators of violence for over 30 years. What first strikes you psychologically about the Brian Walsh case?
I had the immediate thought when I was reading about this one that this busts the myth of the criminal genius, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You know, we've had all these characters that people have found so fascinating in movies like Hannibal Lecter, right? These mm-hmm. guys are super smart. In fact, most people who commit violent crimes are very low IQ. And this just strikes me as incredibly stupid. I think we're all looking at it, just shaking our heads going, yeah, you've got somebody with psychopathic tendencies, clearly, but the stupid factor here jumps right out at me.
So psychopathic tendencies, where does he cross the line into being a psychopath then?
You know, we can't diagnose without meeting him. That's always a disclaimer and going through an evaluation. But if what we're seeing is true, and we have no reason to doubt it at this point, we'll have to hear the whole defense and hear all the evidence. But this would be a person who's very comfortable wearing masks and lying, just effortlessly lying. And we can break down all the different ways the lies serve him at this point, but it's certainly predatory. And that kind of a pattern, yes, psychopathy is a continuum. Some people can just have a few of those traits and be a little bit that way. But when you get into murder, when you get into this kind of deception, a person would have to be quite psychopathic. And throw in the narcissism and the other things that are in cluster B, as we always talk about.
Damn.
Oh, he's a cluster, all right. He is a cluster. You know, he's the one in the encyclopedia where you look up cluster B and there he is.
Yeah.
With his picture.
Yeah. With his messy hair.
Yeah. Everyone tells small lies, white lies, social lies. You know what I mean? From a clinical perspective here, what separates everyday dishonesty that we all are a part of from the kind of calculated deception that we see alleged in this case?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. You know, when the first thing when we think about how do people learn to lie, I think of the 3-year-old with crumbs all around his face and mom says, who ate the donut? And he goes, I don't know, right? So I think humans figure out as toddlers that lying can get you out of trouble, but that's a fairly impulsive kind of lie. And that's something people do. I mean, I think as we mature, we can grow out of that impulse and figure out, you know, it works better in the long run just to tell the truth. But a lot of people lie, and I'll raise my hand on this one for social soothing, right? Telling a friend that, oh, thank you for that casserole. It was really yummy when in truth it wasn't very good.
Put frosted flakes on it. Yeah. It's supposed to be Wheaties.
Yeah. You don't want to hurt their feelings or no, your bangs, they're not too short. It doesn't look that bad, right? So we've all done that. The other kind of lying can be, you know, padding the resume a little bit to look better on a job application. But there's not really harm. You're not really hurting someone. It's just sort of self-serving. And that kind of thing is pretty normal. Maybe not reporting everything to the IRS. People, you know, we can't say everybody that does that is a psychopath because that's pretty common. But overall, normal lying is to soothe other people or to avoid conflict or in some cases to get out of trouble. But psychopathic people lie to exploit and to dominate others or to gain power. It's usually calculated, goal-directed, and they don't have any remorse when they do it. And it becomes a pattern and a lifestyle. So there's a really clear difference between normal lying and psychopathic exploitive lying.
Does it evolve over time? I mean, everyone, you know, everybody's a kid. Everybody, I would say as a generality, I feel like we lie more when we're children as we're trying to feel out the world. And there's more white lies, more lies that just don't really mean a whole lot, but you're just kind of doing it. But then you grow up and you go, okay, well, maybe, you know, this is not the path that I want to, you know, be going down. For someone like this, it just kind of feels like they never had that moment or those years of growth. Is that what's happening here in a brain for somebody like this? Like those years of realization and growth just don't occur and they continue to be in that very childlike mindset? Or what exactly is going on? How does some evolve and some don't?
It's another wonderful question. You've got good questions, Tony. That's why I do this show, because you've got the best questions, better than all the other shows.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I think it's the lack of the development of empathy, right? Because we learn as in a normal family, a normal situation, we grow up learning that the truth usually serves us better. And we feel like we develop a sense of integrity. I know when my husband and I got together 20 years ago, we both had partners who had lied and been dishonest about a variety of things. And we made a promise to each other. We will not lie. We just won't ever go there about anything. And it's worked well. And I appreciate that so much about him. But I think in some people, psychopathic people, they never develop the empathy parts of the brain. They have a smaller amygdala, the connectivity. It's called there's actually a network in the brain where empathy develops. And whether it's biological, there's a lot of evidence that, you know, a certain amount of this is just in the wiring, the way they came, or the environment. Maybe they were rewarded a lot as kids. They got away with it. It worked better for them. Maybe they were raised with parents who had this kind of personality style. So yes, it's just in their core being. They don't have compassion for other people. Everybody is looked at as, what can I get out of this relationship, and how can I exploit this?
Do they put on a show that they are compassionate people?
Yes.
Is that okay? So that's the facade. They look like they're doing all of these things, but behind the scenes, behind the mask, the knife is out.
Mask is the key word. They can wear many masks and switch them around depending on what setting they're in.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Does that go back to childhood, this lack of empathy? I mean, obviously there are certain factors where, in nature versus nurture, we're kind of talking about that, but the lack of demonstration of empathy at a young age, I'm wondering how much that plays into then how they walk out into life and the levers that they're going to pull, where they don't necessarily see the value in empathetic behavior because maybe it wasn't demonstrated to them, or maybe it was demonstrated and who they saw showing the empathy, giving the empathy, maybe they saw negative consequences for that person. Because being an empathetic person doesn't always mean that you're coming out on top. It means you are feeling emotions as a healthy human being would. Yeah. And you can also be run over by other people's trains of shit if you are a very empathetic person, but you still walk away, even though you maybe have a couple tire treads on you from being run over, but you still have the empathy. I'm wondering if any of those sort of factors play into people like this, where that's demonstrated at a very early age and they learn either this is not a good idea to be empathetic because they've seen someone be hurt for it in a very traumatic sort of way, or it's just, it's never been demonstrated. So it's never been a part of the repertoire of their life.
It's you know, certainly possible that they learned from somebody being a doormat. Maybe mom was a doormat and they said, well, I'm never going to be a doormat. I'm not going to go that way. The other component of it can be that they're given too much empathy to them as kids. So they get away with things where they should have gotten some consequences. And they never got consequences because maybe parents indulged them too much. And I've certainly seen a lot of that, where this kid was stepping on the rights of other kids and exploiting other kids and stealing from their friends. And they felt like they got rewarded for it, you know, or the parents made excuses for them, rather than holding them accountable and teaching them this is not acceptable. We don't do this to people.
Yeah.
Do you think we're seeing a lot of that right now in parenting, where it's soft parenting, it's parenting light, where little Jimmy can do no wrong, where if the teacher says, hey, you know, there's a problem here in class, and the parents don't look inward, they don't look at, well, what is my child doing? What's life like at home? Yeah. What are my own problems going on? They just immediately go, well, it's the teacher's fault. You fix it. Or it's somebody else. It's never a little Jimmy anymore. Is that sort of behavior? Are we seeing that really we're starting to see the everything kind of come to roost on that, with now generations of children that have been raised that sort of way, that when consequences, even small consequences for minute things that really wouldn't be big deals, but people just simply can't face basic consequences anymore. Is that rooted back in that sort of parenting of at a younger age, never facing it?
Yes, I'm just going to speculate yes, because I certainly know a lot of teachers. It is a hellish time to be a teacher right now, because parents come in angry and just vituperative and trying to start fights. And sometimes the teachers feel like they're in physical danger from parents because they've tried to give a kid a consequence for behaving badly in class or not giving them straight A's. I've got one friend who's a college professor, and my jaw just drops. And he says, this has just been recent in the last 5 years, that college students will debate and debate and debate about the grades that he gives them. And I mean, when I was in college, I would never argue. People didn't do that. You didn't earn the grade. You got the C or the D, right? Or you failed the class. And now students come in and they threaten him and they make complaints about him. And he's been a teacher for over 20 years. And he says, this is new behavior. And it sure feels entitled and narcissistic. And the parents back the students up. Sometimes he's getting angry emails from parents. So, yes, there was a comment, people don't want to take accountability. I think that's a cultural thing that we're seeing, which is troubling.
How do we reverse that? Yeah. Do we?
We die and we say, good luck, everybody.
Start over.
Yeah.
A lot of people like, well, I'm out. I'm checking out soon. You all have fun with this shit show.
Yeah. If I figure that one out, Stacey, you and I will write the book, right?
Yeah. We'll
write that book together.
We'll retire.
I do wonder about that, though, because I wonder if we're going to see the pendulum swing, because it feels like it swung really far over here to this sort of behavior where people feel like everything is up for debate.
Yeah,
everything is not up for debate. Yeah. There are facts in life that are simply facts that are not debatable. They just are. But we seem to be in this world where everyone feels everything is up for debate. And that's a really weird way of thinking. I mean, because not everything is up for debate. Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you think, that's a very broad question. Why do you think that is, Siobhan?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting trend, it seems, in humanity, where we're at that place. That's not how the world has ever been, where you can debate anything and everything that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cultural shift. Why it's happening, I don't know, other than maybe when I was a kid, which has been quite a few years ago, but things were pretty punitive. You know, we had a lot of spanking, a lot of physical discipline. I mean, that was my mother's philosophy, is you just hit the kids when they do something or they mouth off or they have an accident, you know? So maybe we needed to find a middle ground. And just as a country, we've swung too far in the other direction of being really indulgent and kind of reinforcing narcissism in kids.
It makes me wonder, because this is a case that is very heavy on digital evidence, on the digital trail, on his Google searches. Basically, in a way, him finding community in a sense, not necessarily in a way where he's getting with other folks that have killed their wife and like, hey, how'd you do it? But he goes out there and he finds other people who have written other articles, pieces of content, pieces of information about said types of crimes and how to handle them and how to get away with them. Is it partially because we are in a world now where you can find community of some sort in almost any sort of pathology that exists? So if this is how you think, if you have these bizarre thought patterns or thinking that, you know, you can debate this or I can get away with this because there's other people who are going to have information on how to do this. We didn't have that in the past. We couldn't just jump on our device or literally speak aloud now and have just the information fed to us from our devices around. Mm-hmm. Now that exists. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's because it has become such a norm that anybody's unhealthy pathologies or directions of which they think can now be backed up, can now be validated in a sort of way. Not that somebody's saying, hey, great job killing your wife, but there's enough other people out there that they're not alone in this. They used to be, you know, shamed. You'd be fearful. Oh my God, nobody does. This is insane. But because they can find others who have in some capacity, it makes it more of an accessible thing to do. And then further feeds that path that they're on of pure madness.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. The internet, you can find a community for anything on the internet. And sometimes you don't even have to look very hard to find it. And I see this a lot in sexual behavior with, you know, young men, young women. I mean, I've had girls as young as 16, 17 come to therapy and talking about they want labiaplasty, if we can say that on TV.
I don't think we've ever said that before.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and why do they want that? Because they've seen images on the internet of what they think their body is supposed to look like. And there's nothing
wrong
with
that. We would never know that.
They would never even think that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly with anorexia communities online and the predatory sex offenders online, I mean, people can find a group for anything that they may have just had a curious thought about. And then, as you say, then they find that, oh, there's all these other people that are into this too and other people doing this. So,
yeah, it's gone from like shame to lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about all this. Brian had prior federal convictions for selling forged Andy Warhol paintings. That's kind of the inspiration for our artwork on this. An elaborate fraud. He was convicted on that. He was wearing an ankle monitor. He's stuck at home. He can't go anywhere. He's taking care of the kids. What is a history of successful deception tell us about someone's psychology and maybe the ease at which he was able to do all of this while taking care of his three children as he's chopping up mom in the other room?
That's another thing that just jumped out at me. These poor kids.
Yeah.
Poor kids. I mean, how strange and bizarre is this? And yeah, this is somebody that's learned how to wear masks and can be very calculated. And when they find a niche, they can be pretty good at deception, at least for a while. And of course, the smarter ones, as I always say, become politicians, you know, not all politicians, but many successful politicians are quite psychopathic with wearing a mask and these qualities. But if you look deeper, you see this incredible dark side.
It doesn't make him a murderer, though, that he was a scam artist. Right. Where does that line get crossed that he deceives people and then he decides to take it a step further?
Mm-hmm. It had to come from thinking, because, you know, and again, even if he had never acted out, somebody that would commit murder has thought about committing murder. And then the other thing that just occurred to me right now, there are people who commit a crime, they get caught. It doesn't mean they haven't committed other crimes in the past that they haven't gotten caught at. And so there's just a lot of information we don't yet have about this guy. And what other kinds of things has he done that nobody knows about, because we don't have the internet history going back very long, right? Mm-hmm. It was just a few days before this event. And so who knows, if you went back years, who knows what you'd find.
You know, and Tony, you talked about this yesterday with Bob, I think it was, that, you know, maybe she was about to uncover a whole bunch of things that he was part of that we don't even know yet. And maybe she just had to go. Wasn't that what you were getting at yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder about that. I mean, ultimately, in a case like this, I mean, he might be, again, obviously we can't diagnose, but I was looking kind of at just like the narcissistic playbook on this. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's exposure that they don't want more than anything. They don't want somebody exposing them for who they are, their masks coming off. He'd already been exposed for the art fraud. That's already out there. He already knew. The world was finding out about that. But it did make me wonder what else. What else is out there? What else would come up in divorce proceedings beyond the art fraud as reasons that he shouldn't have custody of the children, reasons that he shouldn't get money, reasons, you know, for this and all of the things that could be exposed of him? And he knew, at least it appears that he knew, at least according to some of his Google searches, he was suspecting that there might be a divorce on the way. He knew or suspected the wife was cheating. He's looking up the best places to get divorced prior to the actual murder taking place, or death, depending on who you want to believe here. And it really just made me wonder, was he preparing for that, preparing for whatever he needed to do to not take that blow, that next blow to his ego of the failed marriage, of all of his secrets being revealed? Anna obviously knew quite a bit about him, probably more than anyone did, and she can't speak about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's for a reason, if we're to believe that he murdered her. So I'm wondering if this was one of those, well, this is what's going to happen. I'm probably going to have to get divorced soon, so I better pull this lever. And not pulling it with emotion that a healthy brain would have, but pulling it simply with the modality of, I have to do this because I can't let this mask slip off, and she's going to make it slip. So what else do I do? Chop her up, of course, and then put her in 20 dumpsters. I'm wondering if that was part of it seems crazy and complex, but to a mind like that, pretty simple A plus B equals C equation.
Yeah, certainly possible. And the other thing, you know, because we don't know how much planning specifically, I mean, the timing, did he plan to do this then? Or, you know, was there something that happened that she said, which is also possible, that caused him to be more impulsively reactive in that moment? But yeah, I think for a person to commit murder, it has to be something they've thought about to some degree. Mm-hmm. And then the other possibility is that she died, you know, accidentally, which we don't have any way to prove that at this point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem very likely. And why in the world would you then think the first thing you need to do is dismember the body rather than calling for help? Yeah.
Well, and don't forget too, I think it just, did it come out yesterday? The internet search about, hang on, let me go to my screen, about broken teeth. Can you identify a body with broken teeth? Like, that's not something, I mean, if you're trying to figure out how to revive your wife, I mean, like, none of this makes any sense. It just all points to, dude, you did this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of damning information there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.